What was really powerful was that during National Science Week, those participants actually ran a science hands-on workshop for the Canberra community, which was absolutely incredible and kind of challenged people's ideas about who does science and who science is for, because they were the ones teaching everyone else science.
You've got to love it when people want to shake things up. Today we are speaking with Sian Keyes, who is the founder of this fantastic program called Scienceability. This project is all about getting people with intellectual disabilities to lead and run science programs all over Canberra and potentially beyond. Now she is really helping make a difference.
You're listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. For hundreds of ideas, free experiments and more, go to physicseducation.com.au. And now, here's your host, Ben Newsome.
Yes, welcome again to another Physics Ed Podcast. Yet again, we've got another big week. We're speaking with someone quite cool. Sian Keyes is doing fantastic work helping people with intellectual disabilities run and lead science programs all in public. And it's very, 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 very cool and attracting quite a lot of awards. Now, she does actually work as a senior programs officer for the National Youth Science Forum. So you can imagine just how busy Sian really was during National Science Week last year. So without further ado, let's just hear about what Sian's been doing and why she's been doing it.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast.
So what I've been focusing on lately is a program called Scienceability. Back at the start of the year, or at the end of last year, I applied for a grant from National Science Week, and I won it, which was fantastic, to put together a program that I proposed called Scienceability. And Scienceability runs hands-on science and engineering workshops for people with intellectual disabilities. I have a lot of experience working with people with intellectual disabilities. My younger brother has Down syndrome. I've been involved in that community for a very long time. And it was just something that I thought was really, really important. I know that my brother has taken part in a whole bunch of different programs throughout his life. He particularly loves dancing and drama. And there's fantastic programs out there in sport and the arts, but there never seemed to be anything out there for him in science. He always used to come and say to me when I was studying science at university that one day he wanted to do science just like me. And it made me a bit sad that there wasn't anything out there where he could do that. So I thought, well, why shouldn't I be the person to put that together?
And you really did. You know, man, a fantastic job of it. And I was actually just thinking about it at the time. How has this not been done before? I'm absolutely amazed and almost surprised that no one had thought of it. And gee, you've really made a run of it.
Yeah, there are a couple of other people doing some similar things, but not quite the same. I was lucky there is a woman in Canberra who is doing her PhD on quite a similar topic. So she's been a wonderful source of knowledge for me and we've worked together quite a lot. But there hasn't been anything existing quite to this level. So we ran these workshops in the lead up to National Science Week and the participants had an absolutely great time. But what was really powerful was that during National Science Week, those participants actually ran a science hands-on workshop for the Canberra community, which was absolutely incredible and kind of challenged people's ideas about who does science and who science is for, because they were the ones teaching everyone else science.
No, it's absolutely brilliant. It actually does remind me of a theatre troupe out of inner Western Sydney called Ruckus, which has a number of contemporary performance artists who happen to have an intellectual disability as well. And their whole thing is about, you know, addressing inequalities, getting rid of social exclusion and all that stuff that comes with it. And you're doing this in science, which is fantastic. And I have to agree that if the person presenting the content knows what they're doing, it's irrelevant, whether they've got an intellectual disability or not. I mean, just teach the science. And if kids are having fun and the adults are having fun, it does not matter in any way. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, thank you. It went really, really well. And we've had a lot of great interest since then. So looking forward to what can be done with that in the future.
Hey, just out of interest, what were the experiments that you were doing during National Science Week? Or not you, yourself, all the presenters?
So in the lead up to National Science Week, we did 6 different workshops in a range of different themes. So there was the science of colour. So we'd do like rainbow milk, where you'd have drops of food colouring in full cream milk, and then you dip a toothpick in detergent and drop it into different spots in the milk and see how that affected the fats within the milk and how that made all the colours move. We did the science of flight where we made rotocopters. We did engineering where we made scribble bots. So we did a whole bunch of different science and very different kinds of experiments during that. And then every single one of the participants chose their favourite experiment that they'd done in those workshops, and we all practiced them together and practiced them on other participants before going and presenting them to the public.
Yeah, wow. And so how many of these sessions did you run for them, for the public?
So we ran just the one workshop for the public during National Science Week and the six workshops leading up to it. But there's definitely, you know, definitely space to do more in the future.
I was going to ask about that. No, undoubtedly you would have had a lot of requests for that.
Yeah, it's been really great. We've had a lot of schools get in touch to ask if we could run workshops for them. We've had some scout and guide groups. Yeah, there's been a lot of really great interest, particularly around Canberra.
And what was really cool is that Australia Science Channel kind of nominated you guys.
Yeah, that was awesome. They gave us most accessible and inclusive, I think it was, program in National Science Week, which was a real honour.
Yeah, I bet, absolutely. Outstanding, frankly. It's really, really cool. Now, just out of interest, I mean, obviously, this is obviously a clear passion for you, and it has a very clear family connection, and you're driving it forward, which is awesome. Just out of interest, though, what got you into science in the first place?
Science was something I was always really interested in as a child. My parents were always very encouraging of me trying things out and seeing how they work. I remember when I was younger, Mum would always run experiments with me where we do chromatography of M&M colours on filter paper and splitting the stems of flowers and putting them in different coloured water to see how the capillary action worked. I was always very investigative as a child, and my parents really encouraged that. And I think that just went all the way through my studies. I always just wanted to keep learning more. But at the same time, I've always been interested in working with more diverse audiences. And I think those two areas really melded together really well in Science Ability.
100%. Now, and obviously you went through to university and did a bit of science, you know, learning about how science actually works. But I understand you went through to Questacon at some point.
Yeah, so I worked at Questacon for quite some time. I started there working as a part-time job while I was at university. But then once I finished my honours degree, I went on to do a master's through Questacon and the Australian National University, a program called the Shell Questacon Science Circus, which is a Master's of Science Communication Outreach. And it's really, really good fun. I spent a good part of the year travelling around Australia doing science and engineering workshops and shows in schools, and then continued to work with Questacon for quite some time after that. And it was a really great way to learn science communication, learn best practice, and have a fantastic time doing it.
Absolutely. And those people who are listening in from overseas, Questacon's like the Australia's National Science Centre and really cool museum right in the heart of Canberra. Actually, not that far away from Parliament House, actually. just out of interest, where did you get to travel? Because every time anyone does the science circus, they get to go to some really cool places. What was the best place you went to?
Oh, I had some fantastic experiences in Science Circus. I spent a month just travelling around Tasmania, which was absolutely beautiful, and probably because of that, my favourite state in Australia, I'd say. But I also had some really exciting and really interesting opportunities. In one of my tours, I spent a week in remote Indigenous communities, staying with the schools there and working with the kids, and that was absolutely fantastic and really mind-opening.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I understand that you also have been involved with the National Youth Science Forum.
Yeah, so that's where I work at the moment when I'm not doing my Science Ability stuff. That's my full-time job. So I'm the Senior Programs Officer at the National Youth Science Forum, and we bring every year 600 Year 12 students to Canberra and Brisbane for hands-on residential science programs, fortnight-long science programs where they get an idea of what it would be like to study or have a career in science or a science-related field. So we have that coming up actually very soon. Our first one starts at the start of January. We have three of them. And yeah, getting excited about having all of the students arriving and getting them to see what are some of the opportunities by having a career or studying science.
Oh, it's huge. And actually, we did an episode a couple of months ago now on the National Science Forum, just two alumni from that. It sounds like it's just fantastic. And I know that you've got this big, big thing coming up in the next month where, you know, literally 600 people. That's a lot of people to organize. And I imagine that Amanda Caldwell and Damien Pierce will be very busy right now making sure it's all ready to go.
Yeah, we're all very busy, but, you know, that's why we do it. It's when all of the students arrive and they see what actually happens in pays off, they just love it so much, and that's what makes it worth it.
That's cool. So, I mean, just out of interest, I mean, obviously, you're involved with Science Ability. Where do you think you might take it?
Look, that's a really great question. There are just so many options. So working out exactly what I want to do with it is what's actually on the plans for me over the next few months. I'd love to make it, a full-blown organisation in Canberra, reach some wider audiences, start taking it into schools, maybe making a weekend program for people who work during the week. And then, you know, one day maybe taking it around Australia. It'd be great to take it outside of Canberra because there are so many other great places it could go to.
I've got this funny feeling that's exactly what's going to happen in some way. It'll start off small and get bigger and bigger and bigger. You never know where these things go. Just out of interest, like the presenters themselves, what was their favourite age group to teach?
Well, so for the program that we ran in National Science Week, it was actually only for young adults. So it was for people over the age of 18. But when we ran it, when they presented to the public, we had anyone from little babies to quite elderly people coming. But I think what they really enjoyed was the variety. I didn't actually hear any of them say that they preferred one age group over the other, but seeing some of the little kids learning different areas of science from them, playing with rotocopters, playing with slime, all kinds of things, I think that really made the event.
Absolutely. So seeing that, I reckon that 2017, as it comes to a close, it very much was the year of slime. It really was. I mean, I'm really enjoying it, actually, because when you go out to schools, I'm really enjoying the fact that the students know, well, frankly, a lot more than you do.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. And what I do love is also being able to change the perception of what science is. Because, you know, there are a lot of people who think of science as slime. And while there is, you know, a lot of science in slime, there is a lot of other science as well. And so while that was one of the things we did, we also did a lot of experiments that wouldn't actually be seen as sciencey at all. And that was what was really exciting.
Hey, just out of interest, if you had to, I don't know, drop everything, I don't know, run away from the microphone, and you had to run a lesson in a half hour or so, and you had the materials on hand, what's your favourite go-to thing that you go, you know what, I know audiences love this. What's your favourite science experiment?
That's a fantastic question. I think some of the best science experiments are the ones that you don't know what's going to come until it happens. So I love experiments like there's a can crush you can do where you have a Coke can, and this is, don't try this at home. You can get a Coke can and put a tiny, tiny bit of water in the bottom and evaporate it until everything inside is very, very hot. And then you can turn it upside down into a plate of very cold water and the can will crumple inside because of the change of pressure. That one is fantastic because it is just so unexpected. But the other science experiments I really, really love are the ones that anyone can do at home. So quite different to that one. The ones that all you need are things that you can get from a supermarket, things that you can get from Bunnings, things that you can find around your house, because that to me is the true importance of science, that anyone can do it. So whether it's making rotocopters, whether it's testing the capillary action of water, there are so many things that you can do at home, and I think that's what's really valuable.
Yeah, it comes down to the critical thinking, and I do know that experiment with the Coke cans. It's brilliantly done. Actually, I remember seeing that with one, I think it was a physics teacher a long time ago, showed me how they're doing it with not quite the aluminium cans, they're doing it with small drums. And that is a definitely don't do that at home, but I tell you what, that made a bang.
I bet it did. There was a video on the internet a couple of years ago about it happening to a large truck as well that had been sitting out in the sun for too long. That one was quite scary. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's some homework for everyone. I've not seen that one. That's awesome.
Yeah,
slash don't be cool. Inside.
Definitely.
Oh, wow. That's insane. Actually, it comes down to actually when you think about like what's out there on YouTube, there's so much out there, and knowing what is repeatable and what shouldn't be repeatable is just as much about what science literacy is about sometimes.
That's very true.
Absolutely. Hey, look, there's undoubtedly there'll be people who would love to know how they could, you know, gather a trip together and start doing stuff in their own localities. I mean, what would be some advice that you would like to give?
Well, I guess the real advice is that if you're passionate about it, then you should do it, and that science is out there and it's accessible and anyone can take part. So, you know, look up what's available in your area. Start finding resources. Go out there and do it, because I think that's what's really important, just getting started.
Just do it. Maybe you need like a little Nike swoosh underneath the Science Ability logo.
Yeah, exactly. Just do it.
I love it. That's awesome. Hey, look, and that actually brings up the point. How can people get in touch with Science Ability?
We have a very active Facebook page when we are running. So definitely look at Science Ability on Facebook. We are the page that has the little conical flask as the logo. And send us a Facebook message or get in touch, like the page. We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. And that's Science Ability, all one word. And CBR, just out of interest, what's the CBR stand for?
So we're based out of Canberra. So of course, that's the shortening for Canberra.
You think I would have realised, but I'm not that bright. That's okay. But there you go. So yeah, definitely check that out, because I really truly believe that this particular program will get going, and hopefully well beyond National Science Week, which is undoubtedly a great focal point in August. But you know, seeing that going out into schools and community groups and whatever, it's really cool. And I think you really started something which will go. And by the way, congratulations on your own personal nomination coming up very soon. You don't know?
Thank you. Yeah, so last month, I think it was, I had been up for ACT Young Australian of the Year, which was very exciting. I didn't win that, but that was okay because the guy who did win it was absolutely fantastic. But later this week are the ACT Inclusion Awards, which I'm also up for. So it's been very exciting. And it's fantastic just to be nominated and to be seen against all these other people doing so much good.
That's it. Those inclusion awards. I mean, I'm really hoping that really goes well. And yeah, and of course, by the way, you know, well done just, you know, being nominated amongst all these hundreds of thousands of people who are doing really, really cool stuff right across Australia. To be nominated as a Young Australian of the Year is just fantastic as well. I mean, what a year. It's very cool.
It's definitely been a very big year, but it's been fantastic.
No, brilliant. Well, thank you very much, Sian Keys, for jumping on the podcast. And look, all the best as you know, draw down to a close next this year. And hopefully next year we'll see you and all the crew running around ACT and beyond.
Let's hope so.
Hi, guys. Looking for more science with an Australian twist? Well, you're in luck, because here at Physics, we're launching a fresh take on science in the upcoming podcast, Physics Twist. Get up to speed on the latest science and tech news, where we look at what these discoveries might mean for all of us. Powered by the physics education team, Physics Twist highlights the most interesting and sometimes the funniest side of what's happening in our world. We're kicking off in a few weeks, so stay tuned. See you then.
Well, there you go. We were speaking with Sian Keyes, this fantastic person who's running a fantastic initiative. How cool would it be if Science Ability breaks out of Canberra and goes right across Australia? Or even better, wouldn't it be awesome if different cities around the globe start doing what Sian Keyes has sparked here in Australia? You see, it's all about showing that science can be everywhere and science doesn't have to be for one particular section of the public, and she's very much doing that. Now, a person who's also doing that is our last guest, Mark Wildman, who's been all about doing science parties.
You can make it really, really fun. You can make it engaging. The kids can have an awesome time. But they can also leave, like, one, saying that they want to be scientists. So with that perspective, little shift towards, like, thinking of science in a better way and having a more positive opinion on science.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast. We're all about science, ed tech and more. To see 100 fun free experiments you can do with your class, go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled F-I-Z-Z-I-C-S. And click 100 free experiments.
Yes, I couldn't agree more with Mark, and certainly science parties are a really great way of getting kids into science. Trust us, we run hundreds every year, and believe me, our teachers here have a blast doing it too, let alone the kids. But it's very much about showing that science isn't just in the lab, it's everywhere. It's just a procedural way, a logical way of looking at the world and exploring it. And it's so much fun. So make your science lessons fun. Make your science classrooms, your museums, or wherever you happen to be working at, make them awesome as much as possible. Anyway, you've been listening to me, Ben Newsom from Physics Education, and I will catch you next week for another great episode. All the best.
You've been listening to another Physics Ed podcast. We're excited about science. Subscribe to us on iTunes to download the next episode as soon as it's released. And don't forget, for hundreds of ideas, free experiments, our new Be Amazing book and more, go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled F-I-Z-Z-I-C-S.